Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paul Liminig, our green and gold analyst, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul, how are you feeling about this contest coming up?
From a Packers perspective, feeling quite confident. I don't know if... Now, I think we all share the opinion that Dalvin Cook is a monster and perhaps approaching... you know, top three running back in the league territory already as he gets further removed from that torn ACL that set him back, obviously, for about a year. But with Kirk Cousins being Kirk Cousins, and yes, Thielen and Diggs are great, have both had their share of taking advantage of the Packers in recent years. But the way I feel about Green Bay's defense right now, and I haven't even talked about the offense, right, because that is at least one game in, and based on what I thought was going to happen this season, the Packers' offense is almost secondary in my mind. I don't see Green Bay's defense at home coming off the game that they did, you know, giving up big point totals to Minnesota. So I feel this is a game the Packers should win.
Packers have scored 23 or more points in 11 of the last 13 home games against Minnesota. Do you think this offense has 23 or more points in them this time?
Green Bay's offense having 23 or more in them?
Yep, yep.
No, I don't. I mean, I need to see it. First, we saw an offense last week that, yeah, the second half they kind of started to see it a little bit, and obviously the majority of the Packers' production came on that one drive, of course, where they scored the touchdown. They need to, you know, feature Aaron Jones more. They need to block better. The Bakhtiari injury, while it looks like he will play and is practicing today, is concerning, you know, because even if he's 80-ish percent, that's a big setback. But you know, Bill, I believe that Rodgers will continue to get better as the weeks go on, not just because they faced, you know, perhaps the league's best defense in week one of the league's top 3 to 5 defenses in week two, and depending on how Denver shakes out with Von Miller, I mean, and a defensive-minded head coach in Fangio in week three, that should be a really tough contest as well. So I think it's going to take a while for Rodgers to really get going, coupled by the fact, not just because of the defenses they're playing, but also just because of the fact that he has not really played a lot of football. He didn't play any preseason football. He missed some training camp and everything because of the injury. You know, he needs to get rhythm back. And it's hard to get rhythm back against Chicago's defense, Minnesota's defense, Denver's defense. So I see the offense taking a little bit to get going. I think that's the expectation. I think that's what a big reason for Brian Gutekunst featuring and focusing on the defense in the offseason with three high-priced free agents, with the two first-round draft picks. I think, Bill, for at least the first quarter turn of the season, I'm expecting a very defensive-minded, defensive-first winning games because of defense football team. So 23 or more against Minnesota in week two, coming off of what I saw in week one from the Packers offense. I'm not saying it's not possible, but it would surprise me if they put up, you know, 24 or more.
I had posed the question a little bit on Wednesday, and it was met with a lot of harsh criticism. Now, I am not in any way, shape, or form kind of throwing in the towel on Aaron Rodgers, not at all. All I said was, looking at his season last year and looking at a couple of the throws that were just un-Aaron Rodgers-esque in the game against the Bears, as many people have started to email me, is this just simply post-collarbone break Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I don't know. I mean, how much of that Carolina Panthers game did you watch last night?
That was ugly.
I mean, I bring it up specifically because, I mean, 3-4 years ago, I would have never told you that Cam Newton would be like the train wreck that I saw last night. Yeah,
he's awful. I have no idea what kind of a cliff he fell off of. But when that man is more, and I know people get pissed at me when I do this, but when that man is more concerned about, seemingly anyway, concerned about his looks and his outlandish appearance at every post-game press conference versus actually playing football well, when that is your number one thing that you're known for now, you've fallen off the cliff. You've jumped the shark, and to me, he's on the backside of his career very quickly.
Yeah, and so I think just from a purely football perspective, he has clearly taken big steps back. He's gotten hit a lot over the years in Carolina. I mean, he's taken a lot of hits, and sometimes, quarterback is the most sustainable position. It's why, it's why teams are, usually skittish to do too much with a running back high in the draft and spend too much on a running back in free agency, just because those guys, they wear out quickly. Well, quarterbacks have the most durability, sustainability. They get to wear the red jerseys in practice. They have every rule in the NFL rule book there to protect them to not get hurt, because that's what a lot of NFL fans tuning in on Sundays and Thursdays and Mondays want to see, is the quarterback and explosive offense. So I bring up Cam Newton only in the sense that I wouldn't have told you a few years ago that, he was going to start to hit the downside of his career. And I don't believe that's true with Rodgers, but when injuries start to pile up on any professional athlete, I mean, it does become more challenging. Now, Rodgers and the way he plays quarterback, there's more to him. There's so much more to him than like the extended plays and, the athleticism, and that those have been things that have been really great about his career. And I think when we see his Hall of Fame video package, you're going to see the 6 second, 7 second, 8 second plays that lead to long passes, and they're going to show his Hail Marys and everything else like that. The reason I don't think Rodgers, what we saw last week, is going to be Rodgers going forward. Now, again, Bill, it might take a few weeks. I'm not saying like all Rodgers needed was one tune-up game. He might need three tune-up games, and really pretty much treating September as, an adjusted preseason, except a preseason where wins and losses matter. I think it could take a little while, but I just don't think that what we saw last week will be permanent Rodgers. So, but is he the same guy he used to be? No. I mean, that's why I strongly believe in. And, sort of one of the Twitter videos that we talked about earlier this week that has kind of gone viral with him turning down the shorter passes. I think as he becomes more acclimated in the Matt LaFleur offense, he's going to take, I would assume, as a very smart quarterback that he is, he's going to start taking those more. And I think when he does, not only will it extend his career, but it'll make him play like an elite quarterback for much longer, rather than perhaps trying to do some of the stuff that he did so successfully 3 to 5 years ago before those injuries kind of started to take their toll. So long with the way of saying, give him time, but does this mean he's 30-year-old Rodgers anymore? I mean, no, I'm not sure that guy will come back, but he doesn't need to come back. I mean, Tom Brady's 42 and crushing it. So it's like, Sunday Night Football, the best player on the field is a 42-year-old against the Steelers. So I think as long as he accepts the sort of the age curve of it, he'll, might take a few weeks, but I fully expect to see a player who will be much better than what he was in Chicago.
I agree with you. I will say this, though, we're talking with Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst. But when you talk about the pay and what you're paying him to be, you are paying him to be 30-year-old Aaron Rodgers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're right.
Yeah.
The best player on the field was Tom Brady the other night. The best player on the field for the Green Bay Packers was not Aaron Rodgers in that game against the Chicago Bears.
No, he probably didn't crack the top eight of the best Packers on the field that night.
Now, correct.
You can go back to the contract and when Brian Gutekunst gave it to him and everything else. It's kind of a funky situation. But, and this is not to, excuse it, because I still think it was a weird decision from a timing perspective with that contract at the time. But when I see Jared Goff, get the kind of money he did, and Goff is fine. I mean, he should give half his paycheck to Sean McVay just as, a thank you for – because when Goff was with Jeff Fisher, man, Goff was brutal. There's a lot of things a head coach and an offensive play caller can do to make a quarterback look good. So I've kind of accepted at this point, Bill, that every quarterback is going to get just some bonkers, crazy, stupid contract that they aren't really worth that much to the team. Because every time there's a new one, it's like, huh? Like 160 mil for Goff? And, in a couple years, Bears fans might, cringe at it, but at some point, Trubisky is going to have a triple-digit million, type of contract. I wouldn't doubt. Even if he continues to just be marginal, he's still going to get that money because he's a young quarterback with some level of, ability. So Yeah, QB contracts are always nuts, and it's kind of hard to justify them in the grand scheme of, you know, the NFL salary cap.
Paul, before I let you go, who wins this one and why?
Yeah, I mean, I thought last Thursday was going to be a low-scoring Packers win. I think this is going to be a low-scoring Packers win. If Chicago's defense is as good as we think it is, and I believe it is, if Green Bay's defense that they showed in Week 1 is going to be as good as it is, if Minnesota's defense that they showed against Atlanta is good, I mean, you might have three of the top 10 defenses in the NFL all in one division. That's very well possible. So for a while here, especially early in the season, I'm expecting lower scoring games. But the way that I saw Green Bay's defense play, and I know for some people that was like, yeah, but it was Trubisky, and, you know, he threw the ball 45 times, and I get that. And Delvin Cook, who was going to probably be fed the ball, you know, whether through running it or short passes, 20, 25 times, if Minnesota has its way, at least that's what Delvin Cook will be featured as. You know, I don't know if they're going to only have to have Cousins throw it 10 times again like they did in Week 1, because that's a pretty extremely...
I can't imagine that, but I agree with you, yeah.
Yeah, well, hey, if he throws it 10 times again, Bill, the Packers lose. Like, that's, you know, you kind of like what Tremont Williams said about Trubisky, we just needed Mitch to play quarterback. They just need Cousins to play quarterback, because if he's playing quarterback, that means Delvin Cook's not playing running back, or at least not being given the ball as a running back. So, again, I kind of need to see it to believe it for the Packers offense to prove me that, you know, there's something more there. The Packers defense has given me no reason to think that they can't hold that group below 17 points on Sunday, especially at Lambeau Field. So, yeah, I'm going to go 20-13 Green Bay.
20-13 Packers, you're on the record, Paul. We'll talk again on Monday, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, Bill, 2 seconds. Have you hit on Minkah Fitzpatrick at all today?
I have not. Feel free.
Let me give you a quick summary here. So, you know, pretty much every good Miami Dolphins player said after Week 1, trade me now, please.
Right.
Minkah Fitzpatrick is at the top of that list. For people that might remember, he was the 11th overall pick in last year's draft. He's 22 years old now. As a 21-year-old rookie, he was the best slot corner in the NFL. Okay, as a rookie at age 21, the best slot corner in the NFL, the Packers are reportedly one of five teams involved in trade discussions. Again, he's a slot corner, so whose spot does he take? Not Alexander's, not Kevin King's, but Tremont Williams, who's not only 36,
yeah,
but he's also
right
on the last year of his contract. So when I saw this, Bill, and I kind of had to dig a lot deeper into Minkah Fitzpatrick, my goodness, if you add him to that secondary, which, again, this isn't just like speculative. Like, if this was Ted Thompson, we'd be like, why are we even wasting our breath? Why are we even talking about this? But Gutekunst offered 2 firsts for Khalil Mack and didn't get him. He now has this great defense on his hands. You have Fitzpatrick under control for 4 more years as a 22-year-old rookie slot corner. Can you imagine, like, if you added a 22-year-old premier, best-in-the-league slot corner to complement with Alexander on one edge, with Kevin King on another edge, behind him with Darnell Savage and Adrian Amos, you might have the best damn secondary in the league if that was to happen. So,
right.
Run the Fitzpatrick hype train, because if that happens, Bill, we can stop saying top 10 defense and we can start talking top 5. Because that's
I would love to see them trade for Minkah Fitzpatrick. I just don't know. That's a whole. We were talking about that earlier. Somebody had tweeted me and I said, did they go after Fitzpatrick? And I don't think they do. I'd love to see it, but I just – how that then would – I would love to see how Mike Pettine would say or what he would be salivating over if indeed that was a true possibility. You know what I mean? A true possibility for him. Paul, we're extremely late, but that's – that's something that definitely we're going to discuss. Appreciate it, pal, okay?
All right. See you, Bill.
Talk to you soon. There you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news – you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.